Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva of Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last 2 weeks of Days of Our Lives, and we'll also be discussing the cancellations of All My Children, One Life to Live. You can call us at 914-338-1239 and feel free to talk about the cancellations also. You don't have to talk about days only. You could check out our blog daily at divaofdaysofourlives.blogspot.com. You could friend us on Facebook. We are Diva Days, and you can follow us on Twitter at Diva of Dool, that's D-O-O-L, and I try to do live tweets while watching the show at 3 p.m. Eastern if you want to read along with those. And we have Anna here tonight.
Hello.
Hello. And we have Mary.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, once the theme music starts, that's when Anna calls in.
Right on under the gun. Just made it.
I was a little panicked. I don't have the number memorized. Isn't that bad? And I was like, it's a different screen.
It's right in my cell. It's right in my contact list.
Yeah.
Talk radio. Yeah.
Well, how long did you have your cell phone in the box again, Anna?
Hey, this one I got out right away.
Put it in your contact list.
Here's your old one. Yeah, put in your contact list.
Yeah, I just don't have my contact list today.
I better be in that contact list now.
You are.
Okay.
Well, on the blog, I forgot to mention, we have good news to spread, and thank God Marianne told me yesterday, we had two friends of the Diva blog have babies recently. Our friend Dama had a little girl a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Megan, she had a baby just yesterday. She had her first baby girl yesterday. And Megan.
Two girls.
Yeah, I know. It's like a girl epidemic or something going
hopefully
on.
Hopefully another generation of Dave fans, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah.
Should we be so lucky?
Yeah, and Megan still has my Sherry Anderson book, but because she just had a baby, though, I'm going to cut her some slack. Though she's had it for like 6 months or something.
There should be a new one coming out, so I think.
Sherry
had told me.
Yeah, she's not borrowing the second one then.
Oh, okay.
But I did write a blog about the cancellation, so if everybody wanted to go and check that out, I wrote that yesterday. And also the video that Brian Fons sent.
It's not there anymore. I clicked on the link. It's not there. They removed it. It's been removed.
Wow. I wonder if there was
Yeah. I was reading your blog. I wanted to read that, and then I saw where you linked it, and I clicked on the link, and it said it was taken down.
Must be a legal issue.
Okay, yeah, it said, it wasn't there.
Oh, yeah, but that got leaked to Jamie.
Because you linked it to Daytime Confidential, right? And I clicked on the video part, and that's what it said. It said, this video has been removed.
Yeah, it was on We Love Soaps' site too, but I'm assuming that got taken down too. I didn't save it, and obviously I can't put it up. They'll probably threaten to sue me too. But the video was terrible. It was. Did you guys get to watch it at all?
No,
I didn't get to watch it at all. But I heard about it.
Yeah, he just he talked a little bit about Agnes Nixon, but basically he just talked about the new shows. He really didn't say anything about All My Children. I know.
There are ways to handle things, and it sounds like this was handled about as poorly as it possibly could be. Mm-hmm. Maybe he took a page out of the NBC, Jeff Zucker's book. Wasn't he the one that did the Conan Jay Leno debacle?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, but he's
sounds like
he's
one
gone
of those
now,
things.
Though. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know he's gone now, but, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. guys don't seem to have a clue, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, there's definitely are two new shows I'm not going to watch.
Yeah. The Chew.
No.
The
Chew? What is it? The Chew. Oh.
I was tweeting. I was tweeting that the Chew makes me want to spew, so that's my new thing.
Like, oh, like I don't want to watch. They think this is reality. We want to watch reality shows. It's like I have my own reality. I want to escape from reality and watch the soaps.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't want to. I don't care about eating healthy, but who cares?
I don't know. Like there aren't enough offerings already out there. That's the
yes,
thing.
There's too many.
And he's trying to bring something quote new. Is that wasn't that like people want to see this or whatever? It's like they
uh-huh.
can get that anywhere. There's a Food Network. There's all over the place. There's stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, that's my opinion anyway. It's like there's something unique. Even though I don't watch AMC or One Life to Live now, I
yeah.
still look back fondly. I still know a lot of the characters, a lot of the actors. You know of them. They were certainly a part of my formative years, and you know. To treat it so to be so cavalier about it, it's like
mm-hmm.
I guess he didn't take Dale Carnegie's, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I don't know.
Right.
It's like certainly not the way to win anyone over. That's for sure.
Yeah.
In our chat room, Save Jack and Jennifer wrote, "Yay, the Chew sounds like an infomercial for a dog toy."
It does.
The
Chew.
Yes. When I kind of thought the same thing. I said, "The Chew. What's that about?"
Yeah. And I can't remember what network has. I think it's A&E. They already have a weight loss program like what they're talking about, the one where basically they have two people going basically to a fat camp type of thing, and you see them at the beginning, and then at the end of the
uh-huh.
show you see what happened after, I think, 6 months.
Is that what the show is about?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's I think the Revolution is about.
Oh, yeah,
but,
yeah.
Plus, I think it might be a makeover show, too.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, but that's basically what The Biggest Loser does, too. Is that,
yeah.
If you
and
get to a certain point, you make it to the makeover show, and they get you a makeover. So,
yeah.
You know,
well,
it's
I mean,
not new.
I like the Biggest Loser. I watch it.
Yeah,
but
me too.
It's like, great, do we need another something like that during daytime? I mean, it's just the bottom line is it's cheaper to produce. They don't want to invest in it anymore. They're getting rid of SoapNet. They just don't care, you know. Bottom line is it's bottom line, and they don't want to they're not making any effort to, in my opinion, to keep it, you know, or they would find a way.
And I'm just surprised
yeah.
they did two of them, you know.
Yeah,
them.
All at once.
At once.
Wow, that was a
yeah.
big shock.
On the same network.
Yeah. And the last thing you want to do, if you want those same viewers to someday accept the new shows that you're putting on, the
mm-hmm.
last thing you should do is commingle those two events. I mean, they should have said, look, you know, we've made this decision. It's a business decision. We feel bad for all the fans. We appreciate all their loyalty. I mean, at least be sincere. You know, at least have some, you know, show some respect and some feeling for the fans. And then later on introduce the new shows when it's not, like, in the same breath, you know, that you're basically destroying two shows that have been on the air for 45 plus years or whatever. So, I don't know. I just think it sounds like a huge, like, just like the Leno, Conan O'Brien thing, it's like these people just, they must be so removed from regular human beings that they just have no clue how to handle something
mm-hmm.
like that. And you would think if you're that high up in a company that you would have some idea of how to handle something like that.
Yeah, and Brian Franz killed SoapNet, too.
Yeah,
did that last
yeah. Oh,
year.
Yeah, because they want another Disney-like channel.
Yeah, it's called Disney Junior. So this guy's a moron, flat out.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, One Life to Live, as everybody's pointing out, is up in the ratings. Everybody's saying the writing is actually very good right now, and they're under budget. So they're
yeah.
making money. So you're killing a show that's making money and it's actually surging in the ratings.
Right.
I mean, all my children. I
don't care. Yeah. Bottom
yeah,
line.
I mean, all my children this past week, or the ratings for the week before they're in dead last, so days actually skipped up over to them
oh, wow.
for fifth place. I know. So Days is 5th and Elmer Children's Last at 6.
Well, and I did hear that they weren't meeting their budget, but there are ways that you can, I mean, they did move them out to L.A., and, you know, they tried to do that, but, you know, still, it's just it's a blatant disregard for the genre and for the fans and for, and I think they're so cocky, they think they know what they're talking about. I mean, honestly, a lot of people don't watch live. I mean, they don't watch right during the show, okay, maybe, you know, ratings shouldn't be calculated the way they are because a lot of people watch online, a lot of people watch on their DVR or whatever. But, you know, do you think you're going to set your DVR for the chew?
No.
You think you're going to hurry home? You think you're going to run home for lunch to watch the chew? No.
Right. You're not going to care if you miss that.
Is there going to be a magazine? Are there going to be magazines that feature things about the chew? You know, I don't know what the other one is. I heard Tim Gunn is doing it, which I like him, but, I mean, if I were him, I'd be like, no, don't say my name with this whole thing. No, don't want people to hate
me. A lot of angry people out there, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think that they underestimate the actual audience. I mean, they were saying something like 3 million people, roughly 3 million people watch those show, you know, AMC or One Life to Live on a daily basis. Well, they're just counting the people, from what I understand, they're just counting the people that they extrapolate out from the Nielsen ratings. Well, again, how many millions of people around the world, I mean, it's not just the U.S. either. I mean, they're around these shows are seen around the world. How many people watch it on the Internet? How many people watch it around the world? So, I mean, I just think they're discounting the whole package, the sponsorships. I think that, you know, I don't know. There's a draw for this loyal audience, this loyal core audience, and I just think they're missing the boat in a major way.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm afraid for the remaining four. You know, in a couple of years from now, is it going to be no soaps at all? Because I will really be. I will really miss. But if Days goes, I will
I've been
with that show for like 40-some years. I've been watching it.
Can you feel for the ones who are still faithfully watching All My Children While I Have to Live? I mean,
they've been doing the same thing.
Probably many people who watch soaps, whether it's currently the show they're watching or not, have watched those shows at one time or another. I mean, look, even Oprah, you know, had them on not too long ago. But it's like, I mean, I think they
You mean Oprah couldn't save them?
Well, yeah, right.
Jeez.
Well, and then I heard today, I saw that she, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that she's not interested. Because some people were saying, her own network should pick them up.
Right,
and, like,
that's what I thought.
Net. Like, either
she could help save them.
Originally produce them or whatever, or sell them to somebody, but show them on her. Because, I mean, really, that would have been a stroke of genius to do that, because right now, in between her original programming, which some of which I like on OWN, there's just filler crap. And so what if she actually put, you know, quality programming from these daytime shows on there? I mean, those are loyal audiences that are going to go to that network and they're going to watch it, and then they're going to see her other shows and, you know, stay on that network more often than not. But, you know, I guess, I don't know. I don't know that for a fact, but I saw something on Twitter that said that she wasn't interested, and neither was someone else. I can't remember who else was they were proposing would maybe they were suggesting might
be. And she puts herself out there as the biggest All My Children fan, and again, she had Susan Lucci on, you know, a few weeks ago, and she's a billionaire.
Oprah.
Yeah.
She produces the Rachel Ray Show, and what do they do? They interview Rachel Ray.
And she
Ray
has all this money. I'm sure she could do something.
All Rachel Ray comes out and stupidly says, you know, talks about the new shows and how excited she is for them to join the lineup, and doesn't even say anything about the daytime programming, the daytime shows that just were axed. So right there, you got a lot of people mad at Rachel Ray, too, you know? And she used to have them on the show. She used to have some of the actors on the show. So who knows? I mean, it sounds like she was towing the company line, in my opinion. They probably said, oh, you need to come out and say something. You know, but see, there's a tie with Oprah, too, there, because she produced their show. So I really wonder what's going on there. I mean, I don't know.
Okay, well, we have a caller. I'm going to put the caller on the line. We have area code 304.
Yes.
Hello, you're on with the Diva.
Hi. I was calling because I was going to post this on your site about the cancellation and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much I'm coming from a different perspective in a way that since most of these soaps right now are, I would say mostly because of the industry with the way things are going, I mean, they seem like they don't want to change the way they're doing things. And it seems like when things get real bad, they even still don't want to make no changes. So I guess for me, it seems like when I hear a cancellation from these shows, I can't really feel sorry for them when, for the most part, you know, the shows didn't really put the effort in.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, and also, you know, with the soap press too, you know, at the same time, it seems like, you know, they really didn't put much effort in as well to try to, you know when to break the news. I think they didn't really know what was going on, but people outside pretty much knew what was going on.
Well, yeah, somebody knew because Franz was planning on canceling both of these for over a year, and he's been developing these new shows, so obviously a lot of people knew, and I think everybody got the hint something was going on about a month ago, but then everybody ran around and denied it. That a lot of the people online, especially us on Twitter, a lot of the soap journalists say you have to start campaigning now, you have to call now, we're not buying, they're not canceled, and it turns out they were right.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, yeah.
I guess everybody took it lightly, and we didn't believe it, I guess.
Well, yeah, but all the actors said it wasn't canceled, so they were completely, I think the actors on those shows
right,
were completely blindsided. But somebody knew at the studio because he was developing new shows, so someone knew kept their mouth shut.
Well, so is the caller, I didn't catch your name, but is the caller saying too, though, and I think that's a good point, that you know, the shows are guilty of not necessarily listening to the fans. I mean, they do have, you know, they have all these ways. They have all these ways today. I mean, if I think I'm old enough to where I can remember when you actually had to put a stamp on a letter and mail it to the studio to get your you know, thoughts to the producers. But, you know, now there are so many ways, aside from, you know, straight up marketing tools, to hear from the fans. I mean, Twitter, Facebook, all these different ways of Sony board and all these other boards. They have an unprecedented ability to get feedback. And while, yeah, the fans may not always know best, I mean, you know, we're not the writers, we're not the directors, we're not the artists, but for the most part, hey, we're the ones you're trying to serve, you know? Like,
right.
if a company puts out a toothpaste and nobody likes it, they go out of business, right? Well, I mean, I can see, I think you said something along the lines that they aren't adapting and maybe aren't listening as much to the feedback from the fans. And I think there is some truth to that, but, you know, still, it's like, whose fault is that? How do we, you know, we don't know, are the suits making these decisions at NBC and ABC and CBS, or are the people in creative control making some of these decisions? So, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, as far as the show goes, the actual show.
I guess it's kind of both in a sense. I guess, you know, because so much of the execs have other divisions to look into that,
mm-hmm.
For the most part, they can't really, unlike, you know, back in the 80s where, you know, their devotion were into probably one or two properties. Now it's like more than like, you know, four or five different properties and different, you know, entities right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also another thing is for the most part, I think sometimes with the way that as fans, the way we express our emotions sometimes can get a little bit too carried away. Like, when I see a lot of the posts on boards and things like that, it's kind of, for the most part, I see it's kind of immature, you know, with some people's emotion, and it's kind of getting annoying, and I could see in some ways why some, you know, execs are very careful how they cancel these shows, because, you know, fans do get, you know, very carried away with their emotion and how they express what's going on. So it's kind of going to be a real tough thing for most of these, you know, execs to cancel the shows the way they want it. But I do agree that, you know, Brian could have done it a lot more better way, but it's kind of, I guess he doesn't want it to, you know, be at both places the way that the way it came down.
Yeah, I agree. Fans can be negative, and I mean, well, you know, there's knuckleheaded fans sending out death threats because they're not happy about how their couple's getting treated. And I've always encouraged people over the years, write something positive. Like, if your favorite couple's not on enough, say, hey, you know, I really like this couple. I'd like to see more of them. That's a positive.
I agree with you.
You idiots, why isn't my couple on enough? I mean, that's negative. I understand that.
Right.
I don't
be
think
positive.
That's a problem with these cancellations, though. Because, like you said, One Life to Live is profitable. I think the problem is they had a soap hater in charge of daytime programming on ABC, and it seemed like the only show he cared about was General Hospital. And they're probably not going to get canceled, at least not soon, because of James Franco keeps coming back because he's been wonderful with the ratings for them, putting them in second place occasionally. But to me, when you have someone who hates the genre in charge of the genre, of course he's going to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say one more thing before I go.
Sure, go ahead.
I know a lot of people would be upset with the fact that they're, you know, changing soaps and, you know, going into other, you know, non-soap programming. But with the way that I see, you know, the ratings for syndication and many other programming that are within the same time spot that some of these shows are, I can pretty much understand why he would go that route. I see, you know, most of the syndication shows on the weekly basis, and you know, you could always gauge, like, whether it's a good week or a bad week based on the syndication numbers for the soaps. And most of the ratings with syndication are pretty much do a lot more than soaps. And, you know, recently with the way they're changing the way they're doing ratings by adding the viewership from online and just the average audience, their, you know, their numbers are pretty much doubling. So I can see why they're deciding to kind of break away from the soaps, where, you know, doing cheaper programming will also in some ways equal, you know, better ratings. I mean, for me, I wouldn't be watching those shows anyway, but I can understand why they would go that route.
That's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand business-wise why they go that route. It's just, I don't know. But to me, these talk shows are just, they're replaceable. You know, you
could
replace something that's 50 years old, you know what I mean, to some, you know, that your grandmother watched. That's hard to replace. But, you know, there's been so many failed talk shows. You had Bonnie Hunt and Megan Mullally and Wayne Brady and, you know, and Oprah's going to be gone. They're just kind of replaceable. They're disposable, in my opinion.
I think a large part of that is because of the time spots that they put them on. And that's a big problem with syndication, is that, you know, it's not so... Because CBS is so dominant in the syndication market, that it's real hard for other, you know, outlets to really get into the game. And I think in some ways that's kind of how I think a lot of the execs look at these soaps, because so much of these soaps they're spending a lot of money on, and, you know, they could spend their money on something else that even if it doesn't work in the short run, you know, their audience aren't, like, as passionate as soap fans.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, and you know, also this, you know, since, you know, a lot of these, you know, we don't know how, you know, the contracts are structured with Sony and Days and YR. You know, for all we know, at the end, it could be, you know, YR, I mean, Bow and the Groove will be in the last soap because, you know, it's only owned by Bill, but every you know, other show is owned by Sony or ABC or Disney. So, you know, we don't really know how, you know, the ownership of these and what if, you know, the economics of things get real bad, you know, that, you know, they might have to, you know, shut down, you know, a certain number of episodes like ABC did.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, too, with Sony owning Days and YNRs, they can put their show somewhere else. You know, I mean, with One Life to Live and All My Children, they were owned by ABC, so it was ABC or bust. So with Sony, they can put their show somewhere else. So, but, I mean, that Passions actually didn't work out that well. They were on DirecTV, and then that didn't even last a year. But so there is still hope for Days and Young and Restless somewhere. Even if it doesn't
As long as they probably get rid of Rave, maybe that could help.
Yeah.
I think we're about behind that idea.
That and probably and toning down as much Sammy and EJ because, you know, with EJ and Sammy, you know, for some reason it seems like the more they're on, the less people are going to tune out. I've seen this happen with Under Hogan, and it was really started to show when they did the whole triangle with Lucas,
mm-hmm.
and that's when I've seen the ratings start to really become a big effect whenever they're on a lot. So I
mm-hmm.
think maybe if they were to tone it down,
balance.
I think people would really be into it. But even so, I think just at this point, Days is so much is going to be in a fight as well as Bold and the Beautiful because most of the viewers that is from AMC has been jumping from Days to AMC to Days and vice versa. And I see some fans also doing that with Bold and the Beautiful. But for the most part, it seems like more fans seem to jump over to Days. So I I'm sure that when AMC is off and after a couple of weeks when people start to get settled in that, you know, Days could really be in trouble with the ratings,
mm-hmm.
depending on if they can't get things into gear. So
mm-hmm.
that's it. I'll let someone else get in on.
Oh, thank you so much for
okay.
calling. Really
yeah.
appreciate it.
Thank you.
A lot.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Good guy's perspective, you know.
Yeah, I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Basically, though, ratings-wise, YNR and GH are actually not doing that bad. Days was in last place for about a month, and B&B and the demographics has been awful. So they're both kind of failing. And General Hospital did pass up B&B a couple weeks in a row for second place when they had James Franco on, and they had that when they killed off the 3-year-old on that show.
Yeah,
the ratings really spiked. So, but you know what's going to happen? I thought this yesterday. It's like, but the ratings so bad for Days. You know what's going to happen is they're going to kill off another kid or. You know, give somebody else cancer.
Well, yeah, the answer, get rid of Rafe. Then the ratings will go up.
They will not
that.
They'll probably give
I know.
Another lookalike.
They think he's the savior. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot bigger problem. That's Rafe's one of the problems. there are a few others, too. But, you know, but I almost feel like, you know, I feel a little I guess since the news came out about these two shows, even though I, of course, continue to criticize the parts of the show that I don't like, I feel a little guilty about it because, you know, at least our, you know, at least our crappy show is still on the air. I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
I mean, no, but we love our show. We love to hate it. We love to love it. I mean, when it's going well, we love to love it.
We love to hate it. Exactly. We like to complain about it, but we hate to see it go.
The beauty of soaps, you know, that's the, the great thing about it is the fans are involved. Now, granted, to a lesser degree than they were 20 years ago, but you don't have that kind of involvement with the chew, you know. I mean, because you could spit that out or take it or leave it or whatever, you know. But with a show like, you know, Days of Our Lives, people are invested, you know, sometimes to a lesser degree if they don't like the stories or whatever that are going on. But there's always that hope that they're going to turn it back around and the next 6 weeks are going to be better, you know. So, and, you know, and there are times when they really knock it out of the ballpark, too. And we've talked about those.
Oh, yes.
There have been times
where our entire discussion has been positive,
and then 2 weeks later it's entirely negative.
Negative,
all of a sudden, you know, but that's kind of like life, too, don't you think? I mean, it can't all, if you don't have, if it
can't all be good,
life's good
right?
all the time, you don't, I mean, if it's good all the time, then you don't recognize that it's good, you know. So, I mean, I don't mind there being times when it's less, you know, enthralling, if you will. But the parts I don't like is when it's out and out annoying. That's you know, that can be hard to swallow and easy to fast forward. But, you know, I just, I think you hit it right, Carrie, when you said, you know, first of all, ABC has somebody in charge that hates soaps, hates the genre, couldn't wait to get rid of, you know, SoapNet and get rid of these shows. And so, you know, just looking for the right time, basically, and wanting to make sure they had what they thought would be successful replacements lined up. So, you know, I mean, right there, you're fighting a losing battle. But what I don't get is, I saw somebody said, and I think I'd seen a few articles about it, what were they doing sending Susan Lucci out this last couple weeks on all these interviews and everything? Didn't she give quite a few interviews and having other people talk about? Oh, yeah.
They talked about
how the show, you know, they were being reassured and stuff like that. I mean, obviously it came as a big surprise, and I haven't read any of the interviews.
Has she come out and said anything anywhere publicly?
I don't know.
Yeah, she said, it's been wonderful playing Erica Kano this year. So, I mean, most of the actors are being nice and positive. There are a couple of people who are really pissed off.
Like the, I thought,
usually,
I,
yeah.
What about
like Catherine Hicklin's like furious. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, they should all be.
Tweets.
They all have a right to be.
Yeah.
Oh,
they need to kiss anybody's ass now, I guess. You know.
Yeah. Catherine Hicklin's tweets are really funny. I like.
Oh yeah, I recommend following her.
Well, I mean, her ex-husband's losing his job, and you know she doesn't have a chance to go back to One Life to Live now. But I think the nice thing about this whole thing is it's bigger than any one person or any one show or one network. Because I know most of us, you know, that are Days of Our Lives fans aren't gloating. We're not like, yay, our show's still, because it's like there for the grace of God and Brian Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
So go we.
We're all validated. Yeah.
It's like I think it's given us pause. You know, I mean, we've always had this looming, but to know that, wow, they can really do this and it can really go away like that, it's scary. And I think it, you know, I think any of us who love one show, whether or not we've watched the others at one time or another, have an appreciation for the genre and don't want to see it die.
Right. So that's four that have gone just recently in the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
The Guiding Light, As the Word Turns, and, you know.
Well, Passions,
these
two.
And, well, so, Passions. I don't count Passions as, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a whole different soap or whole different, I don't know.
whole different genre of its own.
But Passions are canceled way before, wasn't it? A while? Longer than
Riley was still alive, but
Passions was a newer show. These shows like Guiding Light and how long
years?
Have they been on for
30,
years 40 years?
Well, no,
I know
they're
supposed to be 70. It was 70,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Passions was only recently new.
Yeah, I lost Santa Barbara in Another World, and that one, I'm still devastated.
And
I know.
I
would love to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. NBC never.
I loved Another World.
Yeah, NBC never successfully replaced Santa Barbara. They didn't even try to put another soap there. They never did at that time slot. So basically, it's, well, 3 o'clock. I have days. Is my that's what my dish does. It's on at 3 o'clock. But what does everybody watch on NBC at 3? I mean, it's various talk shows. So I understand how they can, you know, say, you know, they're winning a 3 o'clock time slot, but you're against General Hospital, and everybody's watching something else on NBC.
Well,
at 3 o'clock.
I think they're forgetting about the cross marketing opportunities that they're going to lose, the, you know, product placement, and just the regular. I mean, even if you don't sit through the commercials, even if you fast forward them, or cut them out, or watch a clips on YouTube, or there's still value, even if someone isn't watching right then. They're not watching a commercial because there's still cross marketing opportunities, and there's still, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, you know, watching SoapNet, quite often I would watch clips of the other shows because I'm like, oh, Jesse and Angie, I used to love those guys, you know. So I don't mind watching the commercials for those shows and the other commercials that might be around them that are actually selling, a product, because it's like, oh, it catches my eye because I remember those guys from back in the day, even if I don't watch the show now. And so the fact that, and I mean, like with Days, we have Ali Sweeney who's on Biggest Loser, so there's some cross-marketing there. But I just think they're being short-sighted to look at, you know, oh, it's just that hour time slot that they're going to lose. It's really like a whole bunch of people who would see their product at one time or another and anything surrounding those products, and they're not going to see them now for the most part.
I think they're going to be rudely awakened. I think they're going to be surprised. These shows aren't going to do well, not as well as those two soaps did for them.
Because I'm sorry, you know, like NBC used to have that primetime saying must-see TV, and we can all argue that sometimes Days or any of the soaps nowadays with the budgets they have are not necessarily must-see every day, but, I mean, how many times do you set your DVR, at least how many times have I ever set my DVR for something like Rachel Ray? If I'm homesick or if I'm off or I'm on vacation,
you'll watch it.
Sure.
But you won't.
I might have it on.
Exactly.
I might have it on while I'm doing the dishes,
right,
or doing something. She's a perfectly pleasant person. I don't mind watching her show. But I'm not going to be, like, upset if my DVR doesn't record that day or, you know, like, or I'm not going to make a point to. I mean, I'm sure there are
people. But you
want
to tape your soaps.
I'm sure there are people that do want to do that, and I'm not dismissing that audience. But it's just a different. It's a different thing, and you know, I think they're gonna realize that, or maybe they don't care. I don't know, but I mean, putting another judge show on. I mean, that's what's on in our market. Like after, like.
We have
Days
a lot
of
judge shows here.
Well, wait
too.
A minute. We have here on Days of on NBC, they have Days, and then I think they have a judge show, and then they have the doctors, and then
we have Dr.
else.
Phil before Days.
Yeah, and then Dr. Phil maybe. Or maybe
yeah,
he's
we
a,
have
he's
Judge Judy and Judge. We have like three different judge
but
shows.
But it's like all that stuff to me, you know, I mean, we can take or leave most of that, you know, like even the doctors. Okay, if I'm home and I happen to have the TV on, fine, but I'm not going to set an appointment to watch it. It's not must-see TV to me. And I think they're missing the fact that a serial drama that's got a 45-year history plus has more of an emotional attachment to them than some show called The Chew. I mean, you know, like I mentioned, the sentimental aspect of it, you know, the affection you feel for those characters and for that show. I mean, I haven't watched those shows in years that were just canceled, but I have affection for them. I have respect for them and for their fans and for the actors that are on there and the crews and the writers and directors and everything. So, you know, that's not something, and this genre also does a great job of connecting with the fans and doing, you know, events, fan events, and reaching out and tweeting and whatever it might be. They're very much more approachable than, you know, Brad Pitt or any of the people, you know, actors like that. I mean, they really do connect with the fans for the most part. So
right.
There's this whole thing that's going to be missing now. And I don't know. I have to say I'm pretty much over with everything except for maybe one show on ABC at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I have to say, to actually say something positive, I think Corday, the last year, has done a good job with marketing, though. I think having Sherry Anderson write those books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
doing that book,
book
tour has been great.
The book
this
tours.
Whole day's 45 online book tours with all mm-hmm. the actors and
mm-hmm.
Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the, you know, and the interviews and the
his
chat
book,
interviews.
I mean, he wrote a
yeah.
book. Sherry Anderson's doing these, and then the books on the, like you said, the 45 years of history and stuff.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Also, I disagree with a lot of the book, but yeah.
I mean, there's
the
things
was,
we don't
the
like.
The book wasn't
the,
what,
not
wasn't what I expected. Yeah.
But you're right.
But I still
and,
got it. I still bought
and I,
it.
And I think it also shows that when you can have a book signing where people know they're only going to be able to spend a minute or less meeting an actor,
mm-hmm.
and yet
they'll do it.
2,000 people show up
them.
And stand outside and circle the block, you
mm-hmm,
know,
right.
stand outside around the building. In almost every one of these cities, that's the kind of turnout they've had, from what
mm-hmm,
I've heard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
there's an
I mean,
interest. There has to be, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I just feel bad for their fans. I do, and I have to say, as they say,
we can put ourselves in their place. You
yeah.
know, that
oh.
would happen today. Yeah.
Yeah, like they say that, you know, when you hear somebody's child's been hurt or something, you hug your own children a little tighter that night. Well,
right.
I'm
right.
hugging Days of Our Lives a little tighter
Life.
Tonight.
Yeah. we can relate. I mean, I know how I feel. I mean.
Well, you know how pathetic I am that Lost has been gone almost a year, and I'm still on suicide watch.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean to laugh about that.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah,
I, never
I know.
Finally, I don't. I still haven't found anything to replace it. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's true.
That's true.
But,
I mean, that's very true.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, Santa Barbara, No World Store Hurts, and you know, I mean, I cried the last episodes of those shows. I bawled my, well, Lost, I cried for 3 freaking straight hours. So those bastards had a 3-hour show, so I cried the entire time. But oh my God, you know, oh Claire's having the baby again, you know, crying. Oh, they're all dead, you know, crying. But oh, I cried. I had Santa Barbara, the last episode of Santa Barbara, and Another World tape, and I actually kept it. I'd say for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I taped over it, and I would just pull it out and watch it once in a while. But it just, I mean, it hurts so bad when you watch a show. I mean, Santa Barbara was only on, it wasn't on that long. I guess it was 15 years, but that was their problem flat out was money, and ratings, I guess, weren't very good. But that was a quality show. That was an Emmy-winning show. It was an all-star cast, especially near the end of it. I mean, you had people...
Mm-hmm.
You had soap actors that were just dying to appear on Santa Barbara. I mean, you had Kim Zimmer on there at the end, and Teo was on there, and Eileen Davidson, and brilliant people like A. Martinez, Marcy Walker, Robin Wright was the original Kelly, Jed Allen, Louise Sorrell, Nicholas Coster, Justin Deeds, Robin Madsen, Nancy Grahn, Gordon Thompson, Terry Lester. I mean, that was a stellar cast. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, quality doesn't matter anymore. And like I said, One Life to Live is thriving. So pulling the plug on it, I mean, he just didn't give a shit. I mean, if all my children in One Life to Live were 1 and 2 in the ratings, he still would have canceled them.
I think you're right.
He just doesn't give a shit. I mean, yeah, I just read that they said All My Children lost 25% of its audience recently. Well, you know, I mean, so you could see the writing on the wall on that one. But One Life to Live, that's not the story. They're making money. They're improving. The writing's better. So, you know, but like I said, Corday's doing a good job as far as marketing. But the actual product just isn't very good. The production quality is terrible. The storylines are terrible. And some of the individual episodes are good when you have the right script writers. And some of the actors are amazing. Ariane Zucker has been just absolutely phenomenal this whole past week.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought Valerie Wildman. Yeah, Valerie Wildman was fantastic with Faye's death and her struggle with Rafe 2. She was great. And I think Galen's doing a pretty good job showing that Rafe 2 is a totally different character. I mean, you could have, you know, he's definitely not, you know, good old boy Rafe. And you know, Allison's doing a great job, too. But you could tell she's torn. She loves this guy, and she wants to make it work, but she's so turned off by him. And, you know, and then James, having him pretend to be sympathetic towards Sammy and supporting her, and really behind her back, he's just laughing at her. So, I mean, there's been some wonderful performances on the show, too. It just, no one gives a shit about these storylines, and they're taking too long, and you want them to end. But we were discussing, too, when he brought up about fans. Yeah, it's, I mean, we've known this for years. You know, the online fan bases and the fan groups and the campaigns and that, you can tell they don't give a shit. Is it, you know what I mean? The people in charge of the show, they do not care what the fans want. I mean, they read, they see it. You know, they're getting,
right.
they see all the campaign, they see the postcards.
But they never do anything that the fans want, ever.
No,
hardly.
I mean, you can argue flat out the biggest fan base is still E-Jammy. You could pretty much argue that's the case.
Oh, it's overwhelmingly the biggest.
Yeah, and still, I mean, there's still...
And they're going against it.
Yeah, there's still no E-Jammy storyline coming up at all. It looks like it's going to be... It looks like they're going to be completely separated. It's going to be Nicole Taylor and EJ, because Nicole finds out, that just came out, Nicole finds out about the affair within, I think, 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's going to find out. Yeah, and the whole race.
They actually never had an affair yet, though, did they?
Though, if you find out your sister's kissing and making out with your husband.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to have an affair, and then she finds out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're doing it or not.
Well,
if they go that
she figured,
far.
Yeah. You know, she's figured out the whole Rafe 2 thing now. Well, at least she thinks it's a different Rafe. She doesn't know about the whole switch. She just thinks probably they did something, to him. But she's doing a great job.
You know, you feel like you're working so hard for your couple, and you want to keep them out there, but you just kind of feel like you're being ignored. And for you, Jimmy, I mean, Steve and Kayla probably was the second biggest, or if not the biggest, fan base that was there, too. And they didn't give them an ending. They fired them after their last episode and tell them they were, they didn't know. I guess Steven kind of knew it was his last episode, just reading the tea leaves. But it's like, that's how you treat, like, your second biggest fan base that waited 20 years for this couple to reunite? That's how you end it? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
they need to be more appreciative and more, you know.
Basically,
yeah.
It was just like, fuck you. We're done with you guys.
Give the fans what they want. Just, you know, give the fans what they want. Is what, you know, make us happy. Maybe they don't like making us happy. They just want us complaining.
I know.
Maybe they feel if we're too happy, then we're going to go away or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they think we thrive on the negativity. I don't know.
This has been perplexing me for a couple of days now. Lionar and Days are both Sony. Lionar, I understand their ratings are phenomenal and all that, and they've been number one for a while. But it's funny to me that Lionar can afford former Days actors that Days can't afford. Because, I mean, just since they've been fired, Teo, Drake, and Steven were all up for the same role. So it just seems odd to me. They were deemed too expensive for Days, but Lionar was just ready to pounce them up and, you know, didn't even, you know, think about it. And it's like, but they're both owned by Sony. So, you know, I don't understand it. Is Sony okay?
Like, why can Young and the Restless afford it and the Days can't? Or Days says
they
can't.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And, I mean, Days unloaded basically almost all their expensive vets except for Bone Hope. And Lionar, you know, I mean, they were pretty much determined to cast somebody in that Tucker role. Eventually, they recast it. But initially, in the beginning, all three of those guys were up for that role, Tucker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, it doesn't make any sense to me that Sony's okay with them being on Y&R but didn't want them on Days. I mean, I understand Tomlin had a lot to do with all three of them getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a money thing, though, why can Y&R afford them and not Days?
Yeah, well, they said it was a money thing, so which makes me think sometimes maybe it wasn't really all about money. It's about other things. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, maybe Y&R's doing so well, it's not a problem. But then they were playing hardball with Eric Braeden, Millie, Thomas Scott, having them threatening to fire them before their contracts were even up, at that every 3 month mark, because they signed a new contract. And it's common knowledge, after you sign a contract a month later, they want to renegotiate with you immediately. So to go lower. And then when the actors don't play hardball, they threaten to fire them. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. You bring on Stephen Nichols, but which they were doing at the time, they were going to get rid of Eric Braeden. It doesn't make any sense. If you can't afford Eric Braeden, then why are you bringing on Stephen Nichols? So, and you know what happens when they do that is the fans get resentful of the new actor because they think their favorite got fired to make room for the new actor. That's a difficult position to put Steven in. So I don't know. I just don't understand the whole dynamic between Y&R and Days. It just makes no sense to me at all.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand the whole thing at all. It's the way that everything runs. It's just dumb. I don't know. They need the fans to run the shows, huh? I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah, but the thing is, they need to dump this whole focus group thing.
Right.
Because basically what happened was they probably maybe showed an episode of one of the soaps, they said, it sucked, and then, maybe showed them a pilot of The Chew, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's fantastic. But, I mean, Seinfeld, their pilot was ruled one of the most awful pilots ever by the focus group. Seinfeld, one of the best shows ever in the world.
ABC's using focus groups?
If you listen to what Franz said, it sounded like this was a focus group thing. And they, yes.
And what's the, and who picked these focus groups? And who are these focus groups?
The funny thing is, it's like, I guess it depends if you're marketing. That just tells you who they're marketing to. They're marketing to somebody who just happens to turn the TV on that day and sees something they like and sits and watches it. Because if they were really focused on, having a focus group that cared about a daytime drama, they would have to be an ongoing focus group, not just something that happens. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, or maybe I'm not saying it right, but it's like, I don't know how these focus groups work, but since serial drama is every day over the entire, year, it's like you just get one part of it in one day. And if you're not invested in the characters and you're not watching the show regularly, then, I wouldn't care either. If I just sat down and watched one episode of Days of Our Lives, I don't know that I'd necessarily, prefer
it
over
it
something
again.
Else if I just happened to see one episode and it had Rape 1 and 2 on it or something. I mean,
that would turn you.
Yeah, or Uncle Max kissing his nieces or something. I mean, I would be kind of like, wait a minute now, who's that? Oh, that's his niece. Wait.
Oh, they're long.
But I'm just saying, it's like, on any given day, Days or any of the soaps might not be hitting it out of the ballpark, but, those are two totally different animals than a cooking show, I mean, a cooking show, you're not tuning in tomorrow to see how the dessert turned out,
Right.
It's like, you pretty much know by the end of the show, So, so therefore, they must want just, maybe people who just don't care, aren't that invested, whatever. I don't know.
But
if they're trying to go for a young.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll be real quick. Focus groups, from what I heard, it's mostly about characters. Like they show scenes from a character and have you judge them. Yeah.
Well, heck, so on any given
if you
day,
don't know
if they watched
a
character that was doing something bad and they didn't like what they were doing, they might pan them, but that's actually their role on the show.
Right. Like Kate, if you just see her being a bitch and trying to get Chloe to kill herself and say, oh, I don't like her. But you didn't see her, how she treats her sons and how she treats her grandchildren.
You have to look at the whole totality of the character and the history. And that's what's missing from anyone who... So that just shows you there's an absolute lack of understanding or true desire to understand if somebody like Brian Franz is using a focus group to judge a serial drama against, you know, other things that are unlike it, you know, apples to oranges.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, let's have some intellectual integrity here. Come on. I mean, you know, that doesn't even make common sense if you know anything at all about the drama, of the daytime drama.
Yeah, and the bizarre thing, too, we know from NBC, they actually read the NBC Days board, even though there's probably 10 times as many people on the Sony board for Days.
Yeah.
But they only watch their board on NBC.
I think they do read both. I've heard
they do read.
But, I mean, they probably read NBC more just because it's NBC, but you're right, and that's certainly not representative of what all of us think, for sure. But but I think they read Sony, too. I mean, they'd have to. I mean, since, you know, there's a Sony relationship there, it's not like it's some random board that somebody came up with, you know. So I would think that they would read it. And plus, I know, like, the Days Online people, 45 Online and all those guys, they actually run, not contests, but things to write in and give your suggestions and stuff like that on there. So I think they must read those from time to time or have somebody on the staff reading them. But whether they want to listen to
it. Yeah, I do know NBC. It happened to one of my friends. I think she signed up. I don't know if it was like the Days fan club or something. But they actually did send her a poll once and wanted to know what she thought of certain characters.
Oh, yeah, I got those. I got those for a while.
Yeah, but that does
happen. I was getting those maybe a year ago. I was getting them, like, fairly regularly. It was really weird.
Oh.
It was like there was a period of time where I was getting, you know, a couple of months maybe. And then all of a sudden they dropped off. Like, I haven't gotten
Yeah, I got those,
months.
Too.
But, yeah, I mean, it would ask things like, you know, who do you like Chloe with? Who do you like Chloe with better? You know, Philip, Daniel, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the Horton dog.
Nobody.
I mean, I don't know. And then they would also have you rate certain characters.
A dog? I didn't know that.
And certain pairings. Yeah, he's quiet. He sleeps all the time. No, but he, you know.
He's upstairs taking a nap.
Well, sometimes it would be funny too.
Never comes down.
One of the questions was on there was always, does Days have, in terms of their Days' use of the supernatural, would you say it's just right, too much, or not enough? So I was like going, isn't that a little bit like saying, yes, I'd like another hole in my head? I mean, what? It's like, how about none of the above? No. But I don't know. Like being a little bit pregnant or something. A little bit of supernatural goes a long way. I don't know. But that was a question that was on there almost every time. And then they also had, from what I recall, they had some things that were like, they would test your knowledge initially, like the first, you had to actually watch the show a little bit, at least to have some idea of what was going on to get past the first part, because as I recall, Marianne, do you recall this? Seems like they would ask you questions about the show and then kind of get an idea, you know, where you were at with your knowledge base and if you were just BSing your way through or whatever. And then it
like
gave
the,
you
more
a
like
chance,
the history of the show, yeah.
Yeah, and then it gave you a chance to write a comment, you know, or what would you like to see more of or less of or whatever. So I liked getting those because you felt like at least you had some sort of say.
But I haven't gotten one in a long time.
You could kind of tell, like, certain things that they were really trying to figure out, because there for several surveys they really focused on who would you like to see Chloe with? So you could tell that they were like, okay, should we dump the Daniel thing? Should we move on? Should we go?
What are we going to do
with
Chloe?
Philip? You know, I remember that kind of stood out.
Want Chloe to leave town? They didn't give me that option.
Dump in the river and all. No.
Well, I could maybe write that in.
Accidentally fall on Kate's poison needle. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking Speaking of which, with the show this week, I love that scene with Noah and Kate. Oh my gosh, where he's like, she's going on and on about Chloe, and he's like, just do me a favor, just for me, please scratch off the list, poison Chloe or whatever, poison her or something. He goes, just for me, you know. So cute. Like, I don't want to have to clean up another mess, okay? Just for me, just for my own sanity.
Yeah, he can't marry her again.
For my own peace of mind.
Yeah, now what's he going
to
do?
Kill her besides that, you know? No, but they were so cute. I just love them. But so Dave does know how to do even a little comedy. They know how to do, you know, romance and relationships. They just don't do it enough. That's part of the problem.
He can make Stefano funny, you know?
Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah, which is funny. Yeah, he can be funny.
Yeah, they're multi-talented actors, so they could do anything.
Very, very well. They
can do much more than what the script gives them. Let's put it that way. They make much more out of it. You know, I think a lot of time.
Right.
But
oh,
I don't
you
know.
And hear something puke worthy. Rachel Ray is excited about the new shows.
I read that earlier today.
Oh, I read that. So Michael Fairman
just
tweeted about it.
People want to boycott her now.
Good.
It sounded like a company. Did you read it,
Oh,
Carrie?
She's probably told to say that,
sure. It sounds like such company bullshit, it's not even funny.
Yep. Oh, yeah,
like
propaganda.
They must have gotten her out there. And that's
definitely
what I was saying earlier. Oprah produces her show, or Harpo or whatever. So it's like interesting that since Oprah apparently has said she's not interested in the soaps for her network, that it's kind of
interesting. She's such a fan.
That Rachel Ray then comes out, you know, being the company girl there with ABC, and says, "Oh yeah, I welcome so and so's my friend, and I'm looking forward to their show, and there's enough room in here for everyone." I'm like, well, apparently, except for AMC and One Life to Live. You know, but she didn't mention anything about the soaps. Like, you know, I know it's
you know,
got
Rachel,
to start
you,
for their
you,
fans.
You, your show might be next to go.
Right.
Without,
and you know
right.
what? It might
yeah.
very well be if people get pissed off enough. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to know what they're going to, because somebody mentioned, well, they didn't talk about it on The View on Friday. Well, View is always taped ahead on Friday, so it's not live. So I'm curious, because I'm going to be willing to bet you there's at least one soap fan on that panel, and I'm betting it's Sherry Shepherd, but I could be wrong. But she just strikes me as like she might have liked watching the stories back in the day or something. I'd be willing to bet you one of those women at least watches some of those shows. So I think it'll be interesting to see if they bring it up. If I think it really will be, it would be an interesting discussion on their show if they're really allowed to talk about it freely and not toe the company line. But I'd be really curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, the morning shows, because it happened with, I don't know, Turns and kind of like, people were protesting the morning, you know, ABC, I guess ABC, CBS morning shows, and the, you know, the reporters were just ignoring them. Like they're protesting, they're chanting, there's signs behind them.
They were chanting for what?
They were chanting for their soaps that were getting canceled. And they would just get ignored.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and this, I have to say, I fucking hate The View. I fucking hate that show. I hate it. I won't even turn on the TV on 11 just in case I might accidentally see it. I hate that show so bad. It is just a
bitch.
Well,
it's annoying as all get out. I will say that. But I sometimes, if I am home or if I am able to watch, I don't mind watching some of it. I mean, some of it's somewhat entertaining, depending on what they discuss. But sometimes they're just stupid. You know, anyway.
Well, yeah, maybe if I skip the hot topics and just watch, because I am a conservative and I'm a Christian, and when you have like almost the entire panel is atheists and liberals, and you only have one Christian conservative on there. It's
isn't that one, what's her name, Elizabeth? She's still on there or no?
She's
still on there.
I don't know how she's done it, even though she gets attacked daily.
Yeah.
And she's not, I mean, she's not the brightest bulb in the box, but I mean.
I was going to say, really.
She's not that smart.
She's overmatched there with those other three.
Oh, Well, no, you have, what, like four non-college
Wait, is Barbara still on there
graduates.
Or no? See, I don't watch it. Barbara? She's
Barbara,
still on there?
Barbara shows up when she feels like it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, she's not all the time.
No, she's not all the time.
But it'll be interesting to see if they talk about it at all, just because they see, you know. I don't know. But who knows? And I think, you know, speaking of that, too, about whether any of them watch it, I think there are a lot of closet fans of the show, of those, not necessarily those shows, but of soaps in general. Most people don't talk about it nowadays. You know, it's like, that's why we have, it's wonderful to have these forums and these, you know, chat shows and stuff, because, you know, out in our regular lives, there aren't that many people that you just find talking about, you know, the soaps. But that doesn't mean they don't go home and watch it. You know?
Yeah. Hey,
I know in my
Dallas
office, my previous office in Houston, I know, you know, I wasn't watching it, but I wasn't watching any of the shows back then. I took a long break from soaps for a while. But during lunch, you know, some of the girls would be in the kitchen, you know, would have the TV on. They'd have Bold and the Beautiful or whatever on. And, you know, some of us might laugh a little bit and be like, oh, gosh, how ridiculous or whatever. And we kind of joke back and forth. But then I'd be like, okay, I'd watch for a couple minutes, like, wait, now, whose baby is he? You know, you start getting into it. But, you know, you don't mean to, but you get drawn in. But, I mean, so they've watched it outwardly. And there's a lady that I know brings her headset and has her little TV at her desk. And during her lunch hour, she watches Young and the Restless, you know. So, I mean, there are people who watch it, who watch these shows, obviously. And I just, I don't know. I just think that they're mistaken when they think that they're going to take two shows off of NBC or ABC and nobody's going to miss them.
Yeah, when I people that know me and I say, oh, yeah, I have a Blog Talk Radio show and I interview Days of Our Lives actors, they're like, you do what?
I'm like, oh, yeah. I know. My relatives, people, they can't believe it.
But they're just shocked. They're like, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you've talked to these people, these
Yeah, they think it's cool. They think it's
cool. Yes, they do. They can. They're impressed.
They look at your, I used to watch that show. Or, oh, yeah, my mom used to watch it, or my grandma.
Yeah, and they remember the characters, too. Even if they haven't, like, 20 years ago, they'll say,
I remember Marlena. I remember Stefano. And
That's
how my brother was.
Tony DeMira, you know.
That's exactly what happened. I told you guys that time where I was visiting my brother, and he used to have a crush on Missy Reeves big time in college, in high school and college. And I'd forgotten that. And I just said, oh, yeah, I'm watching Days again, you know, and Tony and Anna are back. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember them. And he goes, oh, well, you know, Jennifer Horton, and he just, like, about passed out, you know, and he goes on and on about it, and my sister-in-law's looking at him like, why don't I know about this woman? Where in her history, your history, did she appear? And then she realizes we're talking about Days of Our Lives, you know, and she just dies laughing, thinking, oh, my gosh, my husband used to watch it. But it's, like, it just was so funny, you know, that, that, you know, all of a sudden this just, like, dusted off a part of his history I had no I'd completely forgotten about. And he was just as passionate about it as if you had were sitting there watching it that day. I mean, it's like it all came back to him, and he was like, oh, yeah, and I remember Mrs. Horton and, you know, Bo and Hope and everything. And, he just went on and on. I was just cracking up. I mean, I think the sad part is a lot of it is they used to watch it. I mean, we have lost an audience, but there are still people out there that are watching it. They just don't – I just don't think they talk about it as much.
And there's a girl that I work with that watches it, but she doesn't go online. So she'll say something's going to happen, and I tell her what is going to happen. And she'll look at me and she says, how do you know that?
Yeah.
I said, because I go online and message boards, and there's spoilers out there on the Internet. And she's amazed that there's these days chat lines. I'm trying to get her to go on it because I've actually found somebody now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that it's watching, and I'll tell her, she's like, drops, and when I tell her, like, that I've been to fan events and I've met these actors, she's there, what? You have to take me the next time.
I think there are people out there.
I'm finding more and more people
that just they're not as tapped in, maybe, to the, like you said, the Internet and all that. Or
she
they just
didn't
don't
realize
talk
anything
about
was
not,
online like that.
They're not vocal about it, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, And that's the thing. It just
I think more watches that want to admit it. You know,
there's really nothing. When you think about it, there's really nothing left in our culture as far as entertainment. Well, this is a broad statement. I'm sure that people could come up with something, but where it connects the generations, it connects, you know, your memories so clearly to a certain time period in your life where you can actually, it's just kind of like music where a song will come on the radio from 20 years ago and you remember what was going on in your life during that time. Soaps serve that same sort of cultural reference for a lot of people. And, you know, it's not just, and granted, I know networks aren't making money off the people who are just thinking about it and aren't actually watching it. But I think they underestimate how powerful that is. And clearly, they apparently think that it's a lot easier to fill an audience with people who just want to talk about food, I guess. I don't know. But I have a feeling 20 years from now, people watching the Chew won't be going, oh, yeah, and I remember that episode where that dude chewed. I mean, that was so awesome. I mean, I will never forget that episode, you know. It's like, you know, and remember when Grandma, like, toasted marshmallows?
I don't think you're
going
to get attached to those people like how we, you know, or characters, like we get attached to them and they're like family and you get, you know.
And let's face it, there are so few creative outlets left, both for our own imaginations on TV and as well as for the actors, the writers and everything. I mean, so much of it's this reality show stuff that there's so few places that actually focus on character development as much as we criticize Days for not doing that sometimes. I mean, if you think about it, you know, like you said earlier, where, you know, if somebody just saw one clip of Kate being Kate, they wouldn't have the context, but if you follow the show, you know this character's entire history, or you can learn it. You can go back and figure it out, watch old clips or ask people about it or read things, you know, whereas, you know, it pretty much doesn't take a whole lot to watch some of these other shows that don't have scripts, that don't have history, that don't have character development. They just have characters. I mean, like, in the literal sense. But I don't know.
You know what's funny? Seriously, my kids, my 9-year-old, my 6-year-old boys, they are actually hooked on Days of Our Lives.
That's so cute.
They are a hook. Yeah, like my son gets basketball practice. He misses one day. He's like, Mom, what happened yesterday? What happened with EJ?
Cute.
Where's the little Rafe at? And my little one, he just loves Johnny and Sydney. And he still wants the old Sydney back.
Aww.
He doesn't like the new Sydney.
Isn't that cute? Oh, how sweet.
Yeah,
but
I mean, they don't watch.
That's really sweet that they and they have that connection with you. You know, it's something that they'll remember.
No,
you know, hopefully they won't emulate it, but.
No.
No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, I have to tell them this is make-believe. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
Faye didn't really die.
Sure.
She's just pretending.
Right,
okay,
right.
The character is dead. The actress is still alive. And they totally understand that.
Yeah. But, I mean, how many outlets are there nowadays that kids can actually, you know, that kids and adults can actually watch shows that have a continuing theme that, you know, isn't wrapped up in 30 seconds or less and life goes on, you know, we move on to the next thing. I mean, I think that's kind of part of, I mean, really, it's part of critical thinking, it's part of creativity, it's part of, you know, using a certain part of your brain. I know people would accuse soaps of not using part of your brain, but they do. And, you know, you analyze things, you break it down, or you just sit and watch it and think, thank gosh, my life's not as bad as theirs.
Thank God my life's not that bad.
Or I think my life might suck right now, but poor, look at
we try to figure it out. What's going to happen next? You know, we sit there and try to figure it out. What's going to happen next? Is she going to find out, or how is she going to find out? Or we're screaming at them all like, you stupid, can't you figure it out? You know, it's like right there in front of your face.
Right,
you know?
So, I don't know. That's so cute, though, that your boys like it. That's great.
It cracks me up. They miss an episode, and they ask me what they missed. Yeah, I mean, but they are all wrapped up in the whole EJ Sammy stuff. That, I mean, that's really what they talk about. They
isn't
really
that
don't.
Funny, though? In here,
are
like,
they Jammy fans? Are
isn't
they Jammy?
That cute?
Oh, no, they don't like EJ. They think he's mean.
Oh.
Oh.
They don't, and they love little Johnny. And I mean, everybody loves Johnny.
He's adorable.
EJ's supposed to be mean, so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you don't really want your kids. I guess that might be like a bad sign if your kid's like, dude, EJ totally rocks. I'm going to be just like him. That could be like a bad
sign.
You know? But let's hope they don't want to
be
like
Ray. If you had girls, I bet you they like DJ. They like the bad boy. The girls would like the bad boy.
I discussed this with Marianne, and I discussed this on Twitter, but my kid, my 9-year-old, doesn't email, and he doesn't have his own cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
But Ciara does. And she's emailing an autistic boy.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's
ridiculous. And she has a cell phone, a little cell phone.
Six or seven.
You're having a cell phone?
Voicemail.
And yet they're not following the pings that we all know.
Please tell me in this world
that
6- and 7-year-olds are not having cell phones already.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, my oldest is in 4th grade. The girls do have cell phones. My son's asked me, I'm like,
9 maybe, okay.
Call? Yeah, he's 9.
9 is too young.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What these girls are doing, they're just calling each other and talking. Because you know, when you were a little girl, you came up from school, the first thing you did was you call up your best girlfriend.
The email? A 7-year-old emailing? Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Theo is actually, I mean, not that he can't read, but because he is, you know, he does have autism, I mean, there are some, you know, he does struggle with some things, so I can't see them sitting there and emailing each other back and forth, you know, when... You know, yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
Funny there.
Yeah.
And Hope says, well, I hope she didn't change it.
Like, aren't you the parent? Don't you have control over the passwords of the house?
Well, right, that's what I meant. Like, when she said, I hope she didn't change it, well, once you know.
You have administrative rights? I guess that was supposed to add that was supposed to add some drama. That must have been on the breakdown. Drama. Insert dramatic pause.
That was just so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love both Hope. I'm glad they're together. You know, I love their story. But, I mean, I just crack up at some of this stuff. It's like, oh. But Sierra, Sierra and Theo are like, I mean, they do have, like, the cutest kids in the show ever. I mean, like,
yeah, they are.
Theo and Sierra and Johnny and Sydney and, you know, Allie, who's not in Hong Kong. And, you know, I mean, they're adorable kids.
Yeah, if they would have just checked Ciara's Facebook page, they would have known exactly where that girl was. She's just
Twitter too.
Twitter.
One of the lines that made me laugh out loud was when Bo said, I think it was Bo or Hope, I think it was Bo, came running back and he says, well, I looked everywhere where a tent could fit or something like that. Like, it's a pop tent, okay? It's like, you know, it's like, it's not that big.
You can fit in your bathroom, seriously.
Oh, that was funny. And then, I was thinking these kids have been gone for hours, and then they're like, oh, well, maybe they're at school by now. Well, don't you think your butt would be up at school looking for them? I mean, I was like, wouldn't you be calling, like, has my kid arrived at school? You know,
They didn't call Lexi until the last minute. They're like, oh, we found the note that they ran away. Okay, now
teams.
Let's call Lexi.
Where Lexi
yeah, I guess they thought they were going to find them.
They've been talking, and it's like, okay. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, but see, you got to love that, right? I mean, as frustrated as we get, it like makes
Well, we like to make fun.
That's
sometimes.
What
you know, fun. That's part
that's
of the
part
fun
of
the whole.
Of it, yeah.
It's part of the fun of watching the soaps. They can make you laugh. They make you cry. They make you angry.
Make you cringe.
Critical. Make fun of them. Yeah.
Make you throw up sometimes.
Everything.
No. Oh, yeah.
Make you laugh.
All emotions. It runs all emotions.
Yeah.
And the other big news, and it might not be news out there, is there's supposedly going to be a big return this summer.
A Days?
Yeah.
And we're speculating. We all think, I'm thinking Drake.
Matt Ashford?
You're Drake. Matt's still in Phoenix, though. I think it's Drake.
But if it's
Drake
what
is
if
the best
Taylor,
bet.
What if they're bringing Ava back and they really just said it was Taylor to throw people off? I mean, maybe people are already speculating this isn't new, but I just am now hearing this about Drake's suspicion. What if they said, oh, we fired what's-her-name and we've brought in Tamara Bond to replace her as Taylor. Well, what if they really were planning to bring Drake back and they wanted, for whatever reason, wanted to put Ava with him or have them somehow circle back around, and or that be his introduction back to Salem or something? And so they just use that as a cover.
I don't see it.
No?
I don't know.
John's going to leave Marlena.
You mean bringing them back at the same time, you mean?
Well, no.
I mean, bringing back the Ava character.
They could have gone to Switzerland, and he just never got any better. I mean, he physically got better, but emotionally he still wasn't all there, and maybe decided, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm just totally, this is literally off the top of my head because, you know, we knew that Tamara Braun was playing Ava, and now she's playing this Taylor, that, so they say. But has anyone actually heard anything? Because they said they were taking the character in a new direction.
Well, that was speculation before that she was going to, that she really wasn't going to, it wasn't going to be Taylor.
Oh,
if you come back with Ava. I heard that, too. So I don't know.
I don't know. I just...
Meaning they're going to make the character altogether different, I guess, because Tamara's playing it.
Yeah, but so what I'm saying is if Drake's coming back, that puts a little different spin on it, because that would be mucho weird if they bring Drake back, even as the same character, and Ava, they bring this Ava girl back as not Ava. I don't know, that'd be weird, I think, but... I didn't like John with Ava, but I loved New John. I thought he was hysterical.
I would love to see him again. Yeah.
But, you know, but if Dieter's not coming back, I mean, I don't know if she is or isn't, but if she's not coming back, then where does he go? Who is he with?
I came up with D and Drake as Process Elimination. Matt's doing a play. Drake's play ended April 3rd. He did Judgment at Nuremberg in Santa Monica. That ended. Teo's has a pilot he's working on. Leanne has a movie to promote in a few weeks. You know, Stephen's on Y&R. Mary Beth coming back is not news.
Yeah.
And Christian Alfonso tweeted like 2 weeks ago, can't believe who's reading lines with me.
Uh-oh.
And everybody keeps tweeting that something exciting is going on.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's right.
And,
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. If you look
I remember
her
saying that, yeah.
So a lot of people, I'm thinking it's Drake, and Drake's been very positive in his interviews because he did a lot of interviews because of his play.
Right, and he's been on these book tours with them.
Yeah, and he's been very well received. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know,
he's went to all the, he's going to different days' events. Mm-hmm.
That's true. So.
Yeah.
And he's only one that's a former cast member who's been doing that for the most part?
Deidre.
Deidre did one.
Also, Drake
sent her a book She's got her own book to promote, so that only behooves her.
Right, Drake had nothing to promote.
Right, and that's interesting,
And then he sends over Digest. He went to Corday's office one day. Uh-huh. Deidre was in the room. But they asked, oh, have
you
seen
what are they doing in Corday's office?
I mean, it seemed like it was a surprise. He didn't expect her to be there. But what
I mean, personally, I would love it if Drake came back. I don't care if Dieter comes. I mean, I don't care if Marlena comes with him. I mean, I really, honestly, if it would take up all the show, I wouldn't want it.
Well, what are they
going to
do, one without the other? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who are they going to put him with?
But for them to bring
Jennifer.
It would be great if they brought back
Oh, no.
What was that?
Jennifer and Drake.
Well, what my dream scenario before Stefano and Kate got together was for John to remember Kate but not Marlena. You know, when he wasn't remembering Marlena, for him to all of a sudden after all these weeks of not remembering his wife, Kate walks in and he's like, Kate Roberts? I was so wanting that to happen because he's so snarky now and everything, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be
awesome.
Yeah, but
would he come back as old John or new John? That's
I would hope new
question.
John because, see, that also would give him so much to play against with Stefano and EJ and all the and Brady.
Oh, yeah,
and
come back into the family again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. cause
move
trouble.
Move into the Demansion, and then get all
another
hot
Demera.
Hey,
he is a Demera.
Around, and Stephanus like going like, wait a minute, she's my woman. I wouldn't mind having somebody fight over her. That would be great.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I thought maybe
different things they could do.
Yeah, I thought maybe they'd bring back Bill Horton too. Because I thought,
oh,
when
I would
we
love.
Interviewed when we interviewed Bourne, it sounded like she was hinting that someone from Kate's past was coming back.
Right, right.
So it could be Drake, or it could be Bill Horton. But this character, just from people looking at the tweets, is involved with Kate, Hope, I think Chad, Abby, and who was and Vivian. And the only person, what character would tie into all of them would be John.
He's great. John.
Oh,
yeah.
How did, I didn't know there was a connection
how about
Kate.
How about Jennifer and
yeah,
how does
well,
John and Jennifer?
John slept with Kate. Yeah, John slept with Kate. John slept with Hope.
No. I mean,
Chad
I mean, where did you get the information that the mystery person has a connection to Kate?
I think Lorne was tweeting
oh,
stuff
oh, I got
and taking
you.
Pictures.
Yeah. I think,
so people, unless she's
where is Jennifer?
What I think she was referring to in that instance, though, was that I think she made a comment about how she was curious to see. They'd already shot the scenes when she said this. She says, you know, that Kate aligns with somebody from her past that she's curious to see how people will respond to. I think that was Sammy. I think it was her circling.
You mean it's
back.
Already happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, not with the shooting, but, like, after that, like, recently when Kate was, like, you know, didn't she, like, get with Sammy and's like, what's going on? Things don't look like they're going so well right now, kind of. And, you know, I mean, didn't they have a few conversations? I think that was what she was talking about. I could be wrong, though. I could totally be wrong. And it could still be Drake. I'm just saying. Then that's what she was referring to. That's still, I mean, I'd forgotten that Christian tweeted that. That's right. She did tweet that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Very interesting.
I mean, you know, we could all be wrong and maybe there isn't a return, but
yeah.
It's that, wait, Christian
there
tweeted it.
Man,
so
I wish it were Teo. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
and by the way, Days 45 is interviewing Arlene Sorkin.
He could completely surprise us, though. Who knows?
What's that?
Days 45 is going to interview Arlene Sorkin. Clive.
Oh,
so why are they interviewing Arlene when she hasn't been on since last June?
Really?
She was only on for a couple weeks.
Oh. Maybe because she's part of the 45-year history, I guess, you know.
Maybe.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, that's cool.
And then someone pointed out that they think Days 45 is also in charge of Deidre's Facebook page. And Deidre, by the way, I guess something happened with her lawsuit with that person.
Yeah.
I'll be nice.
We all know who.
Yeah, Deidre got her website back, so she's back at DeidreHall.com.
I saw that.
There was a disagreement
who owned
it.
That's right, I said
.com. Yeah, she was .me, and now she's .com, because there was a dispute between who owned it, her or her fan club president. Uh-huh. So Deidre got it back, so I'm not sure if they settled or, you know, but it doesn't seem like there was a court ruling, so they must have had some sort of settlement. But Deidre got her website back. So, you know, I don't know. So these people are just speculating out loud. Sometimes, you know, fans, when they all get together, they all put the pieces of the puzzle back together. You know what I mean? They figure it out. But like I said, we all could be wrong. And maybe there's no big return and everybody's just, you know, pulling a fast one on us.
That would be cool if it was Drake, was Jack, too. That would be nice. But
yeah, Jack's another possibility.
Yeah, it's too early, though. But it sounds like whoever it is back now and they're filming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, you know,
but they're keeping it a secret, then.
But just like when they brought Leanne back, that's so cool.
Yeah.
They
can't keep a secret if they want to.
Yeah, well, you know, and Kate did just mention today, or not today, I watched it today. She mentioned on Thursday's episode, reminded Stefano that, of the relationship, of the connection that Abby had, or did he remind her? I can't remember which, but they brought up the relationship that the Hortons have with, Lucas, you know, that's Lucas's niece. And, of course, Jack, you know, of course, you know, Kate knows that, you know, Jack is, I don't know. Huh. Oh, gosh. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, almost. And also, too, Stefano mentioned Tony again on Thursday.
Oh,
yes, he did.
That's right. Yep. He did.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Saying, oh, you know how much I miss Anthony.
Would be so
said,
awesome.
And James really wants him back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
they mentioned Tony again.
Though. Yeah, Mateo's tweets, obviously he's not coming back. But, we will see you guys next week, and thank you for another great show.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye.